After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in this dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Jesus took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly."
Welcome. Tonight we reflect on the cross, look to Jesus' sacrifice. And in that we want to worship him, tell him our thanks. So over the next few moments, feel free to engage in any way you want to worship our Lord and our Savior.
He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. While he was there still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief of priests and the elders of the people. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
Reaches out to us, that we might. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the court, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put on a scarlet robe, and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, the King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes. Then they led him away to be crucified.
Jesus, we are so grateful. We are so incredibly grateful. It can't be spoken with words. It can't even be sung with songs. But we gather tonight for one reason: to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Then they led him away to crucify him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Then they led him, the creator of the universe, the author and the perfecter of life, they led him away to be crucified. They led him, God in the flesh, God incarnate who came to this world, they led him away to be crucified. They led him, the one who knew no sin, the one who was perfect, they led him away to be crucified. And they led him, the one who was full of compassion and grace, the one who stood up for those who were poor and oppressed and stood up against the rich and the religious, they crucified him. They led him away to be crucified. I want you to think of the moment that he was sentenced and the moment that he had to pick up the cross. In John 19, it says this: the soldiers took charge of him, and Jesus, carrying his own cross. And Jesus, carrying his own cross, in that moment, he was finally sentenced, and this cross came to him, and they laid it down, and he had to pick it up, and he had to carry it. And he had to carry this cross. I want you to dwell on that for just a moment, that he had to pick up this cross, and he carried it. After all the false accusation, the mocking, the physical beatings, all the things that he went through, the people, the Jews, his people, chanting, "Crucify him," Pilate turns him over. He has to pick up this cross, and he has to carry it. Traditionally, there's a walk that he went on called the Via Dolorosa. And maybe we don't know the exact march, but we know that he had to carry this cross about a half a mile. He was carrying the very cross that would be his instrument of death and execution. I know that you've had to anticipate things in your life, and you've had to anticipate hard things that are coming in your life, and maybe there was a hard conversation that you had to have, or there was a conversation within family that had to take place, and you knew anticipating that it was hard. Or maybe there's been a big test or something that it marks your future. This is a critical moment to what your future is going to hold, and you knew that was coming, and you would anticipate that. Or maybe there's a situation that was dumped on you, and it doesn't look like there's any reasonable way for this to work out, but it's on you now. Or maybe one of the hardest things that we have to deal with on this earth is that someone that we love, someone close to us, has an illness that we know will lead to death. And we have to walk through that. We know that that's coming. And I think of all the different things that we have to anticipate. But there's nothing like what Jesus had to anticipate. The cross that he was carrying, he literally carried the sins of the world, the brokenness of the world, on him. He literally carried that with him. And you might say, well, but he knew it was coming, right? I mean, that's why he showed up on this earth. He knew it was coming, right? John the Baptist, when he first introduced Jesus in John 1:29, says this, "And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.' It was announced at the very beginning that Jesus was someday going to have to do this. Jesus even said about himself, John chapter 12, he said this, 'But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself.'" He was sharing how he would die. He knew it was coming. Even the high priests, the ones that were in charge that year, he prophesied something. He didn't even really know what he was saying. But in John 11, it says this, "It's better for one man to die for the people than the whole nation to perish." Jesus knew it was coming, right? There was even a woman just a few days before this moment where Jesus picks up the cross that pours this incredibly expensive bottle of perfume all over him. And some of the disciples go, "Why did we do that? Why did you allow that to happen? Because that money could have been sold and given to the poor." And Jesus says this in John 12:7, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." You might say Jesus knew it was coming. He knew that he was going to pick up that cross and walk in that journey to the skull or to Golgotha, to that place that he was going to be crucified. He knew it was coming, right? But even though he knew it was coming, he had no idea the weight of it until he experienced it. When he was in the garden, and he took a few disciples with him, and he took some time to pray, he said, "Disciples, a couple of you stay here. I'm going to go over here and pray." And he began to pray a prayer that I just want you to see it. And in the prayer, it says this, Matthew chapter 26. "Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. If, Father, if you could take this," I mean, I know it's coming. It's Jesus and all of his humanity at this moment saying, "This cross is coming." And a little bit later, he prays another prayer. He goes back a second time. He went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." He says, is it possible, God? Could we change the plan, Father? If it's not possible, I'll do this. And it says he goes away and prays a third time. And in Luke chapter 22, it says this, "And being in anguish," this is as he prayed, "he prayed more earnestly and the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." We've had to anticipate or go through some hard things. Can you imagine what Jesus went through? And the answer is absolutely not. No idea. No idea. Jesus went through this because he wanted to grant us something that God had ordained from the beginning of creation. He wanted to grant us hope and life. But he had to go through this first. You see, before there was hope, there was doubt. And Jesus in the garden says, "If it's possible," and you know it's in that moment, "Father, if you could just change this, I die. If it's not possible, okay, I'll go through it." Before there was this hope that we can talk about later, there's this doubt. All the followers of Jesus who had left everything behind, they left everything to follow him. They had no idea what was happening in this moment. They see Jesus picking up this cross, this instrument of torture, and they had hoped. They had to go through this doubt. Before there's hope, there's doubt. Before there's healing, there's wounds. Do we recognize the cost of our healing? You know, and I'm all for healing today. I'm all for God healing us of things that weigh these physical bodies down. But do we understand the price that was paid for our spiritual healing, which is so great, that those of us here in this room, destined to death, he gave his life so that we could be healed. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed." And I wonder sometimes, do we really know that price that was paid? When Jesus picked up that cross and started on that journey, on that way, paid it all. Before there was healing, there was wounds. And before new life, a life had to be given. Before there's new life, a life had to be given. He picks up this cross, and Jesus knows as he travels down this way of suffering, this way of pain, he knows that at the end there's going to be nails, and those nails are going to hold him to the cross at his feet and at his hands. And he knows those nails, as he's nailed to the cross, he will bear the weight of this world, the brokenness of all eternity that this world has brought. He will bear that weight. He will bear the sin. He will bear the pain. He's going to bear it on the cross. Before there was life, life must be given. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, it says this. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we're still sinners. He bears this for us. As we go, he bears this for us. Before there's new life, a life has to be given. And we're here on Friday. Before there was Sunday, there was Friday. Before there's Sunday, there's Friday. And on Friday, he cries out to God. He carries this cross down this way. He's crucified, and he cries out before God. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's crucified. The sky grows dark. He's crucified. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when he cried that out, he was crying out Psalm 22, a scripture that he knew was written for him. In Psalm 22, it says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads at me. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. My strength has dried up like sunbaked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. They have laid in me the dust. They have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. Jesus knew when he picked up this cross and he went on this journey, this walk to go to the skull. He carries this cross with him. He knows what's coming. He knows the pain of it. And you know, in any moment, he could have decided not to do this. We know this because when Peter cut off the ear of a servant who had come, he was one of the soldier's servants who had come to arrest him. Peter cuts off that ear and Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't you know, Peter, that at any moment I could ask my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels and it would stop all this right now? The whole way he walks on the Via Dolorosa, this way of suffering with his cross, the whole time, he could have at any moment stopped it. He didn't have to do it, but at the same moment, he had to do it. His love for us is so deep. His love for us is so great. He had to do it. And so he walks through this. Jesus does everything because of his love for us. So just two questions for you tonight. Here's the first one. If Jesus carried all this on the cross, when it was strapped to him and he walked to the skull, he walked to his crucifixion, he carried it all. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you carrying that Jesus already carried for you? What are you carrying? He already carried it for you. What are you carrying? What brokenness, what despair, what pain, what suffering, what chaos? What are you carrying with you that Jesus already carried? And would you give that back to him tonight? Would you give that over to him tonight? In fact, right now I want to pray that the Lord would reveal to us anything that we need to leave behind tonight. Would you pray with me? God, you sent your son Jesus, who carries this cross for us, who dies in our place. You did all that to free us and to relieve our burden. Yet, God, we carry things within us that Jesus has already taken care of. Would you reveal to us what those are, God? Sin, pain, confusion, brokenness, hurt, despair, whatever they might be, God. Let us see those so we can give those back. Amen. So one thing I want you to be thinking of. Here's the second. Tonight I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you, just as Jesus, he picked up his cross and he went on this walk. He went on this path to his death. I want to invite you to go on a walk tonight, a path tonight. And I want you to go on that path to symbolize this, that there's things in your life that he died for and that you can let go of. And that when you come on this walk, that you'll realize that you can lay it at the cross and it's gone and Jesus takes care of it. And so here's what it's going to look like. As the band begins to play, I would like for you, at the moment that you're ready, to stand up and head to the back of the room and then come around the sides of the room. And on both of these altars, there's a black thread with a nail in the end. And I'd like you to pick one of those up. I'd like you to carry it to the cross, and I'd like you to tie it onto the cross. And the reason I want you to do that is because I want there to be some movement for us that Jesus Christ paid the price for all these things. And I want to do something symbolic where we say, Jesus, I'm giving it back to you. Thank you. I want you to remember him. I want you to remember what was done as we do this. You know, it might get kind of full when we're lined up good, because when Jesus walked down that way of suffering, that Via Dolorosa, there was all kinds of people that he walked through to get to the place he needed to go. Tonight, I want you to walk through and come to the cross and tie those things on. Whatever it is that you're carrying that needs to be let go of, let it be let go when you tie it onto this cross. And when you do that, confess your sin. Lay it down before him. Thank him for what he's done so that you can confess your sin. When I think about Good Friday, I think about this. Jesus chose to take this journey for your sake. He chose to take this journey to the cross for your sake. He did not want to do it. It's obvious in his prayer, but when he thought of us, he did it. Jesus chose to take this journey for your sake. So for the sake of Christ, would you lay down your life and would you honor him? And tonight, can it be a symbol? Can it be a symbolic act that you know Jesus did this for your sake, and that for his sake, you'll lay down your life. You'll give up whatever it is that's holding you back from the life he's calling you to, and you'll say thank you. Parents, as you come up with your children, just share with them what's happening. Walk them through it, all right? But as you're ready, stand, head to the back, come around the sides. Tie the strings onto the cross with a nail, and then head back to your seats.
nation that seeks your face, oh God of I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted that you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, and your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died. jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge, put the sponge on a stalk, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Jesus was sentenced and he chose to pick up that cross that they laid before him. and he carried it down that road to be crucified, Jesus chose that path and crucifixion for our sake. And for his sake, will we choose to lay down our lives and surrender all that we are to him? Will you stand with me if you're not standing? God, we come before you this evening and we recognize what you have done for us. Jesus, you went the way of the cross and you sacrificed yourself for us. You paid a penalty and a price that we will never, ever comprehend or understand so that we can be in this place today and accept your grace and your truth and your life, and we say thank you. God, we know that Sunday is coming and there's a great celebration, but in this moment we just want to say thank you. We know the pain, the agony, the suffering that you must have gone through for us. May this evening, God, represent to us your love. Thank you for choosing to lay your life down for us. And Jesus, now all of us standing together, we pray this prayer, we share this thought, that we choose to lay our lives down in honor of you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. Let this be a reminder. Tomorrow, let it be a reminder. Be primed and ready for Sunday morning when we celebrate the other side of this. Yep. There's a Sunday, but first there's a Friday. Sunday's coming.